Today I want to speak to you from the topic, the extravagant love of the Father. And it really has kind of become a life message for me in many of the things that I talk about, helping men and women and young people really understand the concept of who God is and who he really wants to be in your life, and how sometimes the ways in which we were raised can help us understand the Father or hurt us from understanding who God really wants us to be. You know, when Jesus walked this earth for 3 years, his entire mission, his entire aim, I'm gonna take these off because they're making a sound. I don't like that. Sorry, guys. Thought I could. It's okay. When he walked, he walked on this earth for 3 whole years. He was the physical manifestation of who God wanted us to know him to be. He came to represent, or I like to say, to represent the Father, so that we can really have an understanding of who God really wants us to know him to be. Many of us have a difficult time really understanding real life because we have a misunderstanding of who God wants us to know him to be. And there's this very interesting scripture in John chapter 14, verse 8. You don't have to turn to it because I actually want to tell it to you in the Living Translation. I don't know if they have it. If they have it, they can put it up. In which one of the disciples asked Jesus this very important question. He says to him, this is Philip, he says, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Other versions in the NIV or in the NESB say, "Show us the Father and that will be enough." But in the NLT, it says, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." There's something about the fact that there is no satisfaction in life that is found apart from the Father. And so when Jesus came and he walked the earth to represent the Father and to show him to the world as to who he really wanted to be, the religious leaders at the time, very upset, because they had a concept, they had a way in which they had presented him. And I remember I was talking to a friend, and they said to me that they had a hard time recognizing God and having faith in him because of the people that represented God, the priests and the pastors and those who are religious leaders. And you know, to that I had to say, you are absolutely right. Because as the church, we have done such a poor job in many cases of presenting God the way he really wants to be presented. And so today, what I want to say to you is that when you know the Father and when you understand how God wants to be and operate in your life, there will be a sense of satisfaction that you can get from nowhere else. You know that song that says there's a God-shaped hole in my heart that only what? He can fill. And so today, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. This is a very popular scripture, and it's something that most of us already know, and most of us have learned it from the wrong definition or the wrong title, I would say. So Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to park for the next 30 minutes or so. Most know us, like I said, most of us know it from the wrong title. We have learned it as the prodigal son. But really, the best title for this particular scripture is the extravagant love of a father. Now, Jesus is sitting with sinners, and he's eating with tax collectors. Actually, the Bible says that they were notorious sinners. And so the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day were upset because Jesus was sitting and eating with people who they thought were very undesirable. And so Jesus begins to tell this story in Luke chapter 15, and he talks about 3 lost things. The first thing he talks about is a lost sheep. Then he talks about a lost coin. Then he goes into the 3rd story, which we're about to go into, which is the story of a lost son. And Jesus was always constantly using stories and parables to reveal aspects of God and the kingdom of heaven that we need to operate in our lives so that we can be successful. Jesus was challenging them, and he was challenging their understanding of God as he begins this story. And the funny thing is that they had this idea of God as a judge. They had this idea of God as this lawgiver. as one who would sit and judge you for what you did and what you did not do. And when Jesus came to represent the Father, he started using terminology, and he even started using names of God that they had never been familiar with. He started calling God Father, and they thought that that was blasphemous. How dare you call him Father? I remember growing up in church, we had names of God all around the sanctuary, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sidkenu. But you know what? The most important name that God wants us to understand him as is Abba. Because if he's Abba, then he's your provider. If he's Abba, then he's always going to be there. And so Jesus came to show that just because you think you have an understanding and you have a lockdown on who God is, I came to represent him so that you really know who he truly wants to be in your life. So he models this by sitting and eating with dishonest tax collectors and notorious sinners. And the intention of this story that we're about to read is a picture of God as Father, who he wants to be in our lives. So now, turn with me. Chapter 15. Let's read the story. Starting in verse 11. The Bible says that Jesus says, and a man had two sons. Now, just stop for a second, because this is debunking the whole myth of this story really being about this prodigal son who comes home and, oh, he's going to get on his knees. You all know the story. I've sinned against you and against heaven. Let me just be your servant. And I don't know about you, but when I was growing up as a as a little church kid, pastors would use this story to say, you better get yourself together, and no matter where you find yourself, crawl back to the arms of the Father, and he will forgive you, and he will restore you, and you know you're out there, and you know you're crazy, and you're going to hell with gasoline draws on, and you better get yourself together. And all of us would be so scared to go to hell that we'd run down to the altar. Oh, we gotta get saved. We have to know God, because if not, he's gonna send us straight to hell. But the Bible says that the subject of the story is not this wayward, crazy son. The subject of the story is a man. And the man actually has two sons, not just one. We have one son who is out, you know those kinds of kids where you see them and they just crazy. Look crazy, act crazy, all in the outward. Then you have the other ones that are the goody two shoes, right? They smile in your face, but they're a freak in the dark. Oh, can you say freaking in? I say freak at my, okay. Sorry, I apologize. Wait, y'all's pastor is Andy. So you have these ones that have these great outer sins, but then there's all of us who suffer with the inner sins too. Some of us were the prodigal son and some of us were the older son at home. Can I get an amen? So the Bible says that he had two sons. Now, the younger of the sons, in verse 11, says he goes to his father and he says, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So the man divided up his wealth between both of them. And not many days later, this is what the young son decides to do. He decides to take his money, gathers everything together, goes on this journey into a distant country where he squandered his estate with loose living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went out and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. They sent him out to the fields to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But then he came to his senses in verse 17, and he says, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm here dying with hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. So he does just that. He gets up, he goes to his father. And the Bible says in verse 20 that he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, the father sees him, feels compassion for him, runs and embraces him and kisses him. And as the son begins to say his speech, Father, I've sinned against you in heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father stops him. He interrupts his monologue. And the father says to the slaves, quickly, go bring out the best robe, put it on him. Put the ring on his hand, put the sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they begin to celebrate. This extravagant love that the Father has for everyone, because all have sinned, whether it's the inner sins or the outer sins, is so beautifully told in this story that Jesus tries to teach us as he tries to represent who the Father is. He's saying, listen, I want you to understand that this kind of Father, this kind of love, this God-shaped hole that only he can fill, that is the only thing that can satisfy your soul. Will you receive what the Father wants to give to you? Will you receive the kind of relationship that God wants to have to you? Now look in the story. As the Bible says that as the son was a far way off, the father sees him. What does that mean? That means that every single day while that young man was away, that father went looking. Is he coming? Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? He sees him a long way off. He notices, that's my baby boy. He's finally coming back. Do you understand that no matter where you go and no matter what you do, the Father is constantly looking for you. He's constantly looking for you. There's not a day that goes by that God doesn't say, are you going to invite me back in? Can I be back in relationship with you? Can I talk to you again? Can I tell you how much I love you? Not only does he see him a far way off. Oh, this needs to get down in somebody's spirit today. Not only does the Father see him a long way off. Now remember, Jesus is telling this story to sinners. He's telling this story to tax collectors. He's telling this story to religious leaders. He's telling this story to everyone. All have sinned. Like sheep, we've all gone astray. But guess what? The love of the extravagant Father. Whew. Yeah, I said it right. The love of the extravagant Father. See, some of us know love, but not many of us know extravagant love. God wants to pour on you in this new season of your life the extravagance of his love. Let me tell you what this father did in this story. Not only did he see that boy a long way off, but the Bible says he goes to run to go and greet him. Now, what you have to understand in the Jewish culture back then is that older men were very honored and respected, and they wore long robes all the way down to their feet to cover up their undergarments. So as they walked, their undergarments would not be seen. But in order for that father to run, he had to hike up his robe. He had to expose his shame. He had to expose something that's not supposed to be seen, all for the sake of getting to that boy. So he hikes his robe up, which the older men would never do, and he begins to run to go after this young man who decided to take his money and squander it. And the Bible says that when he gets to him, he embraces him and he starts to kiss him, and he doesn't just kiss him once. The Bible says he kisses him again and again and again and again. Now remember, we talked about what this young man did. We'll find out later on, because thankfully we have this great older brother who tells on, he's out there with prostitutes and pigs. We find that out later on. So can you imagine the stench? Now you gotta remember, in Jewish culture, number one, pigs were filthy. Number two, Gentiles, or people who were not Jewish, were funky, nasty. And so this son found himself, because the Bible says that he found himself in a faraway land, and they're guessing that he probably was in some kind of Gentile territory. And so this young man has found himself with nasty people, with nasty animals, and now he's coming back thinking he's just going to be a servant. And the father shames himself by raising up his robes. He runs after this boy. And then despite the smell, despite what people are saying, because you know how people are, they're standing at the gate like, you know who that is, right? You know where he been. Whew, do you smell him? His smell probably preceded him. But the extravagant love of the Father says, I will protect, I will cover. As a matter of fact, when that young man came back, they had every right to stone him. They had every right to kill him because of the shame that he was bringing on his family. But the love of the Father, the love of the Father says, I will shame myself. I will even embarrass myself just to get to you to let you know how much I love you. Do you know you're more important than a lost sheep? Do you know you're more important than a lost coin? Do you understand that the Father will do anything to get you back in relationship? See, this is what the Father did. He gave the Son what the Son thought he wanted, so that in the process, the Son would discover what he always needed. Let me say that again. I mix it up a little bit. The Father gave the Son what he thought he wanted. Oh, this is for somebody. You need to raise your hand and say, this is for me. I've been there. I know what it's like. You got your big head. You got it all together. You know what you're doing. I'm out. I'm doing what I know what I want. I know what I need. You think you know what you need. You think you know what you want. But the extravagant love of the Father says, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to allow you to go on this journey. Because in the process of me giving you what you think you want, you will discover what you always need, which is what? To be in the Father's house. Some of y'all are like, yes, I get it. And some of y'all are like, I ain't never had no daddy like that. How can I receive the fact that the Lord loves me so much that he's willing to extravagantly show it to me, to embarrass himself, to run after me, to kiss and embrace and love me, even though I'm stinky and dirty and nasty? We can tell everybody else, this is what God has for you. Get ready, get ready, get ready. But then when you go home in your quiet place, here come the words. Here come, you know you ain't worthy. You know you did that. You know you did this. You ain't lovable. You a loser just like, that's right. You know who you are. And here comes the words. And so because some of us had a poor representation of our earthly fathers, that sometimes it's very difficult for us to receive the truth of the matter. Because the Bible says that when you know the truth, it does what? It. Do I have some Bible scholars in the room? That when you know the truth, it what? It sets you free. Now, come on. Truth isn't always pretty. Sometimes truth hurts. Ooh, I've had some things revealed to me recently. I was like, when I saw the truth, I mean, it set me free, but I was like, ouch, oh, Lord Jesus, that thing hurt. But God wants to reveal truth to you, and in the revelation of this truth, he wants it to do exactly what it was designed to do, to break you from the shackles that hold you back from really being the son and the daughter that he wants you to be. And your earthly father, and please don't get all twisted up in the gender of it all. Because God is not just our father, he's also our mother. You may not be able to do it right now, but those of you who are tech savvy, you can pull up your phone and just Google Rembrandt's Return of the Prodigal Son. It's an oil painting that was done in about 1669. And in this picture, It's a picture of the prodigal son kneeling before the father. And the father has his hands saying, be quiet. Stop talking like an orphan when you are a son. Because you know that's how he comes back, right? He comes back as an orphan. Oh, I'll just be a servant. Oh, the servants eat in your house. So just let me, can I just mow the lawn? Can I be a cabana boy, please? But in that picture, it's very clear if you look close, that one of the hands that is touching the son is a masculine hand. And one of the hands that is touching the son is a feminine hand. Because God is both. But actually, I feel like the hugging and the kissing and the running, that was probably a pretty female thing to do. Very mother-like kind of love. See, God knows the nurturing that you need in your life, and he needs the identity that you need in your life. See, he's both. He could be both. See, the Bible says that he created them both, male and female. He created us in his image. So if we are created in his image, come on, God knows. I fail to believe that God does not know what it feels like as a female to have to stand in these heels. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he does. And so the Rembrandt has this depiction back in the 1600s of who God really is in our lives. But when we've had those poor representations ahead of us, mothers or fathers, it can be very difficult for us to receive the love and the extravagant love that God really wants to bestow on you, and he really wants you to walk in every single day of your life. And Jesus tells this story because he wants them to understand that the father that you think you know, let me just give you another glimpse of who he really wants to be in your life. And so he runs, he hugs, he kisses, he waits, he looks for days and weeks and months until that boy comes home. And then as he starts to talk and as he starts to speak this foolishness of I'm not gonna be your son and I just wanna be your servant, the father stops him. And then he tells the slaves to go get these three non-refundable gifts. And these gifts that the Father has for us, the first one is the robe. Everybody say the robe. First he says, go get that robe. Now you gotta understand this robe. Most of us, when we think robes, we think bathrobes. We ain't talking about no bathrobe. We're talking about a robe that was a VIP garment. It hung in a special place, and it was only for special guests. Y'all know how it was when y'all was raised, y'all was growing up, and your mother had the plastic on the furniture in the living room. Now, you could go hang out in the den and eat chips and nachos, but you couldn't go in the living room. You want a cup, you go get one of them plastic cups. Don't go in the china cabinet and get no glass from mama's china cabinet and be drinking no Kool-Aid out of no glass, crystal glass. No. I want you to understand that this is what this robe was. This robe was not just any day. It was a very special item that was reserved for VIPs. And the father says, go get that robe. And the robe represents forgiveness. No longer will you even think of yourself as an orphan. You are forgiven. No strings attached. No strings attached. Okay. Why is this so difficult? Because Jesus paid that penalty so that we can walk in freedom. But if you had an earthly father, who no matter when he forgave you, a month later could be like, you know what you did last month. You know what you did when you was 15. You could be 33. You're like, I'm 33 now. Are you serious, Dad? You're still talking about what I did in middle school? See, if you had parents that constantly, even though they quote unquote forgave you, you still had to carry the shame of that thing. That's why no strings attached has to be tattooed on your heart. You've got to know that the extravagant love of the Father that you serve, Daddy God, not just Jehovah Jireh, not just Jehovah Shammah. He's all those things. Why? Because he's Abba. And he's saying to you today that I am saying that when you put on this robe, when you put on the forgiveness that I sent my son to pay for, that means you walk in forgiveness with no strings attached. So when you hear the scripture, as far as the east is from the west, I have removed your transgressions from you. And in your mind, you're like, yeah, well, maybe. Why? Because you have a blockage. Oh, I don't have time to deal with this in fullness. But if your father was absent, he wasn't there, or if your father was abusive, he treated you like dirt. If your father did not know if he was he was the kind of the authoritarian where you had to do everything the way he said, all of these things can leave you in this orphan state where it's going to be very difficult for you to receive the robe of forgiveness and walk in the light and in the truth of the fact that no matter what you've done, no matter what pen you have found yourself in, that the Father is here to give you a robe to let you know that you are forgiven with no strings attached. I'm so glad the Father is not like a little sister, because your dearly beloved pastor, as my big brother, one time we were younger. Okay, I'm gonna tell myself first. So I was being a, you know, bratty little sister. I will admit to that. And he called me a word that is not a word that children should use. And it slipped out of his mouth, like it slipped. He didn't mean to say it, but he slipped because he was like, you know what you are? You're a. And I was like, ooh, ooh. The next few days, I was like, can I have lemonade on the terrace? Oh, you missed the spot on those shoes of mine. When I tell you I beat that boy up for days, finally, I think the third or the fourth day, when I was trying to get him to put cornrows in my doll's hair, he was like, I told him myself, I'm getting a beating at 3, case closed. God is not like your little sister. He says, I'm putting on the robe of forgiveness. And you can walk in that robe. I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to beat you up about it. As a matter of fact, if anybody's telling you about what you've done, you better know that's a demon. Because that's what he does, right? He likes to kill, to steal, and destroy. So if the Father says that I've come to give you life, life to the fullest, and every time you turn around, you keep getting beat up over the stuff that you have done in your past, you need to repent, meaning change your mind. Change your mindset of who God really is. See, you're still operating the way that the Pharisees want you to believe God is, that he's some judge sitting up waiting to pick you off whenever you do something wrong. He's not the God of the courtroom. He's the God of the living room. This is the Father that wants to have a relationship with you. And he gives you this robe. He gives you the robe of forgiveness. And guess what? Both of those sons needed that robe. Not just the one who ran away, but the one who was sitting in the house. Why? Because the younger son was guilty of squandering the money, but the older son was guilty of misjudging his father. And a lot of times that's because of the way that the father has been presented by his organization that he created, that Jesus came to establish so that we can love on the world. And we've used it to put people in bondage and put people in judgment and put people in shame and in failure. and we hinder them from really understanding who the Father is in their lives. I found this quote from a gentleman by the name of Simon Cooper. He wrote an incredible book called Brilliant Leadership. And he says this. He says, "A church that is totally focused on the old nature only sees sin, faults, wrong behavior in people." And what that does is it can produce a negative mindset that can only produce a negative outcome. It deals with problems, and it doesn't deal with solutions. It creates a religious spirit that makes God in its image so that it can release anger and judgment. It also withholds all of the things that God actually wants to release and what God really wants to be for people. So we gotta be guilty, we gotta be careful as a church. We're so guilty. We gotta be careful with how we deal with people in their wrongs, how we deal with people when they've missed the mark. So we've all missed the mark. That's why the Bible says that when you judge, you better be careful, because the measure in which you judge, Lord Jesus. I said something to someone the other day. I said, "You don't even know. You're Haman." Only the Bible scholars will understand that. Some of y'all are like, "Haman, who's Haman?" Read the story of Esther, where Haman was building the gallows for all the Jews. But really, in fact, he was building the gallows for himself and his family. See, every time you put your mouth and judge somebody else, "Well, you see, you heard about such and such and such, right?" Every single time you spread a lie, or it may not even be a lie, it may even be the truth. Every time you open your mouth to judge somebody else and what you think they should or shouldn't be doing, you better know that you are really, in fact, judging yourself. So we have to be careful with the ways in which we present God, because the Bible says that when the Son came, the Father stopped him and said, "Go get that robe, boy. Shut your mouth. You will not be a slave. You will not be an orphan in this place. You will be a son." Oh, my time. Really? I have 8 minutes? Really? Is it all right? Are y'all getting something out of this today? All right. So, see, those of us who are in the pig pen, we need to receive the forgiveness. But even those of us who have stayed in the house in our righteous indignation, we need to receive the forgiveness too, because we're looking in judgment on those who have a testimony to tell. We're looking on and saying, "Well, you know, she was in the pig pen, and you know, he was sleeping with prostitutes, and you know, you didn't never throw no party for me. Where's my pig? Where's my calf? Where's my sacrifice?" And both of them, see, but this is the beautiful thing, is that when you have been forgiven much, it's the difference between the Pharisee and the woman. I don't have time to read it right now, but Jesus goes to a Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee, here comes the sinful woman, and she comes and she worships. She just gives it all. I don't know if it was the breaking of the alabaster box or the oil with the hair on his feet. It was one of them stories. And the Pharisee had a nasty idea, and Jesus looks at him and says, "You didn't even offer me anything to drink. You're so righteous, you don't even know the hour of your visitation." But he says, those of us who have been forgiven much, those of us who have found ourselves in places where only the love of a Father could bring us out, Jesus, we understand what the robe is all about. So how do you wear the robe? How do you wear the robe of forgiveness, so that you can walk in the freedom and in the love of the Father? Well, number one, you gotta forgive yourself. I don't know about you, but I'm my worst critic. I don't even need the devil. He don't gotta remind me. Some of the shoes I still keep remind me. Oh, okay. I'll move on. Y'all got stuff in your house that you need to get rid of, because it keeps reminding you of your old self. You got jewelry you still wear. You got clothes sitting in the closet. You don't even fit them no more. But you know that boo-boo about that, for you, so I gotta keep them jeans. You need to go and get rid of the things that hold you back, that cause you to not walk in the freedom of forgiveness, so you can put that robe on, baby, and walk like the son and the daughter that he's called you to be. Some of y'all need to go to counseling. Oh, that's not a dirty word. Let me tell you. If you have had issues with forgiving yourself and walking in forgiveness because people in your past, whether it was your parents or pastors or teachers that kept beating you up for your mistakes, you need to sit down with somebody who can help walk you through those issues and learn how to release it and forgive them and let them go. Some of them you don't even need to have a relationship with anymore. Because honoring your mother and your father does not mean letting them beat up on you again and again and again and again. You can honor them and love them and say, God bless you. I will be released into my destiny, and I pray you get it. Bye. You can. Can I give you permission to do that? You don't do it with an attitude. You don't do it being nasty. You do it for your forgiveness so that you can walk in the freedom that God has for you. The second thing that the Father said, he said, go and get the ring. Now, the ring was this insignia ring that bore the family crest. This ring was very important, and it actually confirmed back on the son what he thought he had lost, and that was the identity of the family he belonged to. The son thought that the dad was going to judge him. The son thought the dad was going to turn him into an orphan, which is why he came back with the speech, I just want to be your servant. But instead, the father confirmed upon him what he had never lost, which was his identity. Do you understand that the highest form of the gospel is not just forgiveness? The highest form of the gospel is adoption. Adoption into the family of God. Whew, I don't have time to deal with all of this. Oh. Once you've been forgiven, you are now a part of the family, and you have identity. See, so many of us can receive the truth of forgiveness, but not all of us can walk in the freedom of our identity. So we come and we're like, oh, Jesus, you forgave us. And then you come into the church, you come into the family of God, and then you operate like you're not a son and like you're not a daughter, which is why the ring was so very important, which is why the father said, go get that ring and put it on the finger of my son so that he can remember every time he looks down that he is not forgotten, that he is not an orphan, that he belongs to the family. The enemy is in the business of identity theft. He's constantly robbing us of our identity. He's constantly, see, if he could, he'll say, it's fine, you think you're forgiven? Okay, that's fine, you can live that way, as long as you don't know who you are. As long as you don't ever recognize who you really are, you can be an orphan in the house for as long, because all you're going to do is just work, 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 work. You guys remember the movie Annie? All right. Y'all know she was an orphan. Daddy Warbucks wants to look good. He brings this orphan into the house. And when she gets into the house, and all the servants and all, they're like, I think I'm going to like it here. You know, the whole story, the whole song, right? And then they say, well, what do you want to do first? And she goes over to a bucket. She dips her hand in there, pulls out a sponge. I guess I'll do the windows first. Because if I do the windows, then if it drips, I can get the floor, and then I can. She still had the mindset of an orphan. When they said, what do you want to do first? She interpreted that as an orphan. Oh, what do I want to? Okay, what do I want to do? Oh, I know. You want me to clean. You want me to work. If you don't put on the ring and you're just walking with the role. You're gonna be just like that little orphan Annie. You're gonna be walking around trying to figure out who, I gotta please this person, I gotta please that person, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. Oh, let me go, let me make the donuts. I made the donuts. You will constantly be on the hamster wheel of trying to get yourself accepted into the family of God. And he said that when I bought you, when I paid for your freedom, it's for freedom's sake that I have set you free. So don't ever be entangled with a yoke of bondage. Don't you let nobody put you in no box. If you are a daughter of God, do you know, I would slap my child if they came to me every day. Can I take a shower today? Can I get a glass of water today? Can I make some eggs today? I'm like, this is your house. What you asking me if you can have a glass of water for? See, we treat God like we're orphans. Knock, 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 knock. Ask, 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 ask. Do you know there's some things that you don't have to ask for? When you know who you are, when you have received the ring of identity, servants do slave work. Children do their father's business. Who are you? You better put that ring on your finger, and you better know who God's called you to be. You better receive the extravagant love of the Father that says, no, not only have I forgiven you, but I have also put the ring of identity on your finger. How do you do this? You got to change your mindset. You got to repent. You have to stop accepting what life, culture, your parents that have put in you when it does not serve the purpose of what God has called you to. Oh, my God. I'm done because my time is up, but there is a third gift. And that gift are the shoes. Whew. Y'all, these are not cheap sandals that servants wore. These were expensive leather shoes in which gave the son purpose. Purpose so that he can go out and do his father's business. See, now, but this is the thing you got to understand, and it's the only thing I want you to know about the shoes, and I'm going to pray for you, is that if you have put on the robe, you can't skip the ring and then put on the shoes. Because the worst thing you can ever meet is an orphan who has purpose on his feet. That's where you meet people like, well, you know, I was the second in command to the such and such and such. And you know, I have been conferred and I have preached in front of, and can I give you my business card, please? Oh, you would want to come and hire me because, see, a person who does not have the ring of identity, then they're always running, trying to prove themselves and prove what room they should be in and what stage they should be standing on. And do you understand that the Bible says that your gift will make room for you? And it will usher you into greatness. Whatever the Lord has for you, it cannot be taken. This is a spot that only I stand in and no. I'm sorry, y'all. Turn to John 20:21. We'll end there. We'll end on John 20. You guys are so sweet. John 20:21. This is what Jesus said. This is his prayer for us. Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus, John 20:21, he says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Spirit to be able to walk in the same anointing that I had been sent by my Father with, the same way that the Father has sent me as a son, not as an orphan, not as having something to prove. You can come up to me and ask me questions and I'm still just writing on the ground, waiting to see what the Father says. How am I going to respond to this? Father, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to talk? This is what Jesus said to Philip in the beginning when he asked us, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. He said, I've been with you all this time, and when you see me, see, I am the perfect theology, Jesus said. I am the complete manifestation, representation of God's love here on earth. So the same way that he sent me to those of you who understand who you are, sons and daughters, I am now sending you. As an ambassador to bring God's love to the orphans. That's why Jesus sat down and ate with sinners. That's why he dealt with guilt and shame at the cross, so that you could be set free, so that as a son and as a daughter in your identity, with the shoes and with the robe, you bring to the world the love that the Father sent through Christ. Would you bow your heads with me today? As your eyes are closed and as your heads are bowed, I want you to think about the fact that God is putting you into a new season right now, a new season of the understanding of your robe, a new season of the understanding of your ring. I don't know what ring he's put on your finger, what he's given you authority in, what he's told you that is a part of your identity, but I'm telling you, you better battle all of those things that are trying to keep you bound, keep you in that orphan mindset. I take dominion authority against the orphan mindset right now. In the shoes that he's put on your feet, the business that he has for you, that is for you, that you do as a son and as a daughter, as one who is forgiven, and one who has been forgiven much can now walk in forgiveness every single day of your life. Would you receive that in your heart today? Would you receive a new revelation of what God wants to reveal to you about the extravagant love that he's been trying to get to you? Do you understand that in that story that there was only one son who received the love of the Father? The older one was so stuck in his ways, but the Father knew how to deal with both of them. He had to throw a party for the younger one, and the older one, he went out and pleaded with him, please, everything I've had is yours. Why would you judge me unfairly? And so God, right now, in the name of Jesus, would you give us a new revelation, a new understanding of the love that you have for us, the purpose that you have for us, the identity that you have for us, the forgiveness that's been waiting for us? Would you give us that picture? Break down the old image of what we have dealt with in our lives, and show us how, as a heavenly Father, you've waited and you've loved and you've forgiven and you've chased again and again and again. You show yourself strong on our behalf. This story is not about us. This story is about you. This story is about when we connect to you, when we're connected to your kingdom, when we're connected to your heart, that we can be everything you've ordained for us to be in this life. God, would you do it? Not one person missing out under the sound of my voice. Not one person deceived. Not one person left on the wayside because they did not receive this truth. Set us free. Set us free. Set us free, and we will forever give your name the praise and the honor and the glory. Now, God, use each and every person that is standing here, that is sitting here, that is listening online, that is tuning into this broadcast. Would you reveal a nuance of their lives for them right now in the mighty name of Jesus? Transform. Illuminate. Expand. Take us from glory to glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And we all sit together. Amen. God bless you guys.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's all stand on our feet. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us? Extravagant. That we should be called a son. Loved, now we are the sons of God. Now does not yet appear what we shall be. Did you get a word from the Lord today? You are no longer a servant, but a son. Let's lift our hands up before the Lord. Next week, Vision Sunday. Make sure you are in place, because without a vision, the people perish. But we don't have to worry about perishing because we have an aggressive vision. Be in place next week for this wonderful vision. It's exciting. It's motivating. It's all those things. Those of you that are listening around the world, stay tuned, because God is doing something in World Overcomers that you need to be a part of. Lifting our hands up before the Lord. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You put me in your family. You put us in your family, and we are grateful. Take us home now. Not to leave your presence, but to continue to be in your presence. And help us throughout this day to throw our shoulders back and hold our heads up and act like sons. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Be blessed. Be blessed.